Hello, Lila. Can you hear me? Hello, Lila, can you hear me?
Hello, Dipali. Yes, I can hear you.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful. Welcome, welcome to the podcast on
Thank
storytelling and love with children. Welcome. Thank you.
you.
Thank you for making it. Just for our listeners, that we are today going to talk with the beautiful, amazing Lila Gaur Broom, who has written so many lovely children's stories and books over the years, and is such a loving presence in the lives of so many children. And I myself have worked with children all my life, written books, told stories, created plays, and so we share this common love for children and stories. And we have really acted on it and lived our lives like that. So we're going to just share today from this journey how it's been and how it is today and what else, what possibilities emerge, what else can we do for children and how it has affected our lives. The most important part is how it changed our own lives is what we're going to talk about. So welcome to our podcast. Before we begin,
Thank you.
Lila, thank you for coming, and I'd like you to introduce your own self. Please tell us, all our listeners, a little bit about you, what you have written, your journey, what you love about children.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting me and for your lovely words. I must say, fantastic words of praise. I didn't expect that. It's been a long, long journey. I'm into my 70s now, so my connection with children has been, I think I myself was very, very young and as a teenager, and looking after my own sister than me, and being the responsible one, as it was in those days. And perhaps even now, parents do expect them to care so much for the younger ones and be responsible for them. I think it started at that time. But over the married and I had children of my own, and then suddenly it was like I was learning with my own, I was growing up with them and learning from their perspective, from their point of view, seeing the world from perhaps a very innocent, very young angle. So, it was, there was so much joy in that, because it was like relearning some of the things that I had learned as a kid and as a child and as a teenager growing up, but then again through them. And then over the years, there was so much more that I did with them. Then eventually, when we came back to Pune and I started working in three schools, all part-time. And luckily for me, it was like four, three different age groups I was dealing with. Primaries, little babies they were, and then the middle school and even high school in St. Mary's and Primrose. You know,
I
so
see.
that's where I started my feet, finding my feet, because I discovered that I must have some talent for children, because me, one day they seem to be sort of in awe of me a little bit, but more than that, it was like I was able to give them something which perhaps they hadn't had enough of when they were with teachers. And I was a different sort of a teacher. I love interactions, firsthand interactions with children. Hit
Hit
me
me
a
a lot.
lot. And then anyway, I'll discuss that part of it later as I go.
Yes,
But
of course.
eventually I went into camping with the kids out here, and
Giving them advice.
environment education. They came to live with us in our house. And when over in 6 out of it, physically I was a little
Able to
too tired. then I went into story writing and into, because I realized I really have a connection with children to be, to sort of feel involved with the way things were today with kids and how they were growing and what they were thinking. And so that's why eventually I went into story writing books, fiction.
I hear you. Wow, beautiful, glorious life. I mean, I'm hearing, Leela, that you took off from that instinct that you had while you were growing with your own siblings. And you realized there was something there and you followed that and you kept looking and you found that again when you had your own children. And then that, you really concentrated on something there. I would consider this mindful living. That something which you're natural at, something which brings you joy and it's so easy. We tend to usually think, no, no, that's not the thing to do, right? We think the harder, tougher things are the ones we should pursue. Whereas actually it's in the easy, simple things which bring us joy. And that seems to have been your whole life. And what a glorious life. You really also at a point when you felt, now I'm exhausted and I've done enough, you valued your own self-care and then converted that whole experience into writing for children and continued to stay in touch. That is such a beautiful, and I hope our listeners are getting this, that it is in the simple joys and love that we, a whole lifestyle and a whole purpose for being can come alive. In fact, it also brings alive in me the same thing that my son has been the center of my life. And this is more important. Seeing what he values, you know, this is more important to be here and now, to laugh, to play. And I always worked with kids even before I had a child. So I always felt very comfortable with children. I was, in fact, very uncomfortable with adults. And because I spent all my time with children, I, again, like you, they would be in awe or, you know, they would just take to you like a fish to water and just there'd be electricity in the room. And we were having so much fun. The time would pass. We wouldn't realize so much creative things we did. And that became my center of my life. And then slowly I kind of, something inside me healed. And I was able to then connect to adults and the adult world, which is again, it reminds me that from your sharing. Let's just talk more about, what would you like to share? Would you like to share what you were saying, you know, the learning with your own children? I think a lot of us are parents who are mainly educators. The first education begins with parents. And what is it that you were learning with children that may have, you know, shaped you and brought you joy and meaning and happiness?
I think for me, it started really when my elder one was just about 1.5 to 2. And we used to go for garden. I lived in a lucky. The children were very lucky because we had the outdoor there day one.
Outside.
And some for an hour or two, didn't matter because they would just be looking at the sky and the clouds and the trees and the breeze and the wind and the ants and the insects. And, you know, then we would discuss that and we would. Talk about the bird. It really happened very. There was some sort of a which was only really blossoming when I was able to describe all this.
Leela, just stop for a few minutes.
Hello?
Yes. Can you hear me? Yeah, just stop for a few minutes because a lot of the words were dropping off.
Hello.
You know, there's some connection issue. So just hold on for a few minutes. I think the connection will fix itself.
Yeah.
Can you hear me clearly?
very clear.
Okay, when you were speaking, the connection was getting garbled. You know, your words were not coming through. So just give me a few minutes. I think it will.
Yes.
Yeah, now try again. Share what you were saying.
Sometimes what is very poor, so we lose contact with each other for a few seconds and then it starts again. So I was talking, describing all this to my children when they were very, very little. And I think that's where I discovered that I do have some sort of talent, some gift to be able to describe this and to make my children discover things for themselves in nature. And then from there, the stories begin. Tell them stories in the daytime, little imaginary tales, and that bird and so on, like most mothers would probably do with their children, mothers and fathers would do with their children today. But do they have the time? I had a lot of time for them because I didn't have a job. I was a bound mother, so I had the 24 hours with them if I had wanted it. So that's where I discovered that portion of my the storytelling and the writing background.
Hear you. I would like to invite our listeners to think about this, because like you said, do we have time? So that brings up two questions for me. First of all, I always made time, though I didn't have the luxury to make time. I was a single parent and I was doing, when we started unschooling, which needed even more attention. But I realize I love children so much. I mean, this was the meaning of my whole life. I was teaching kids and working with kids since I was 8 years old. So for our parents who are listening and wondering, how do we make time? That's a big question. I feel, from my side, and I'd love to hear what you have to say, that for parents who think that, how do I make time? I don't know, I've had a child now and I love my child, but there are so many pressing issues, whether you're a housewife or you're a working mom. For me, it was so important because I realized that where there is joy and peace and playfulness and love, like that connection you have with your child, that's the most pristine thing on this planet. No other connection, no other relation has that space. And so when I focused on it, I really found a greater meaning of my life. I even found healing. I found clarity. I found confidence. I found a lot of work. I mean, I did a lot of things. I worked in all sorts of schools and colleges, and wherever my son was studying, I would teach there automatically. Even if I didn't want to, I would be invited. So I feel if we follow our joy, our ease, our playfulness, that does open up a lot of possibilities, a lot of well-being, a lot of the meaning of life. I would say ikigai. It's the ikigai of life,
Yes. So
I'd love to know, what do you feel, for our parents who find it difficult to, what would you like to say to them?
There are quite a few things that I would think of. First of all, today's parents are really working very, very hard to make a living.
Right.
Some of them have huge amounts of loans which they have to pay because they are so ambitious. They want a house, they want a car, they want a different, a more comfortable life. Right. They want a lot of things which at my age, when I was young, I never ever thought about, even though we didn't have much, even though we didn't have a house of our own for something like 11 years after coming back to Pune. We had no home of our own. We were living with my parents and it was tough. It was really tough. But it never became a serious issue because the focus was elsewhere. The focus was, earning a living, making food on the table, making the food to have on the table, but giving my children quality time as far as possible. And that's where the issue was, the quality time we spend with our children.
Right.
It does not have to be in today's world and today's time. It doesn't have to be 24/7.
Right.
It just needs to be some time which you hold dear for your child or your children, which you say is entirely for them, quality time. So that quality time can be in the morning, it can be in the time when the mother or the father are free, and both of them should be involved with this quality time for their children, maybe at different times, not necessarily together even.
Right.
So
right.
Let me give you an example. For instance, Saturdays and Sundays seem to be a day when most people are a little more free. They're not going to their offices. They're not in IT and things. Now everybody is at home anyway, 24/7. So many of them anyway. So they may have already learned this possibility, you know, in the last 12 to 16 months because of this COVID. But some go back to the way they were living before, and very soon they will want to get out of this house and, you know, to do things elsewhere with their own friends and with their own people, maybe with their own buddies. But where is the time for their children if you don't give them this quality time? And it doesn't have to be more than, say, 2 hours a day, even 3 hours a day, but make it only for them, concentrate only for them. So let me give you an example of this. I was working full time too at that time, because I was working in schools, three schools, and then I had music lessons at home, teaching and cooking and whatever. It was like from 6 o'clock in the morning till 10 o'clock at night. But when the kids were at home and dinner was done, we spent dinner together. We were all sitting together and having dinner. We would tell stories to each other. We would be laughing and giggling over stupid little things, which you know, which but they were fun things. There was imagination working. Sometimes it would be the music would be on the record player or whatever was available at that time. I think we had a tape recorder then. And I put on the music and I would do this crazy dances just for the kids to go wild, you know, just for them to go berserk and wild and let their hair down. And gosh, what fun we used to have. We'd be doing Spanish dancing and Bharatnatyam in the Spanish way and Bharatnatyam in the Indian way and then something else. And anything and everything, so long as it was creative and so long as it was like letting them free to do what they actually didn't need to be tied down by. You know, like this is the way it should not, does not have to be done. It could be done like that. It could be thought out like this. It could be, you know, there are so many ways one can do simple, fun things with children.
Absolutely.
So I did that, a lot of that with my kids. And at the end of it, after dinner, after their baths and they were ready for bed, then things would be slowing down and quietening down and get them into bed. And then I would tell them, read to them from a book. They are now nearly 45 and 50, these children of mine. And they have kids of their own, but they still remember the stories that I told them at bedtime. That was precious. That time was what was really quality time. So I read to them from Wind in the Willows and Winnie the Pooh and a whole lot of other story books. And as I read to them, we would be laughing and giggling and then being frightened. And, you know, all of this would happen together. And then it would be time for them to sleep. So that was quality time.
I'm hearing this, and I hope all our listeners are also getting that. It's not about parenting is not a big deal, which is being made out to be today. Follow and read the right book and all. It don't make such a big fuss. Yes, you must learn something and you must read up on conscious parenting or different ways of parenting. But at the end of the day, the connection, keep that connection between you and your child physical. You know, instantaneous, spontaneous, just be there in that moment and make it light. So don't worry about, you know, giving a lot of preaching to your children and saying, oh, this is the right thing and that's the right thing. They are going to pick up on your vibrations, on your mood, on your temperament, on your cheerfulness. They're going to watch you, you know, whether you are really being true to your own self. And that's going to affect them. So I love this whole story. And I was just visualizing how much fun you were having with children and how that sparked their entire and influenced their whole life, isn't it?
Yeah. Yes.
That's what we pass on. That's our legacy. And we pass on the joy. We pass on the humanity. In fact, I and my son, it reminded me that we used to do pillow fights every night. Like he used to pillow fight or, you know, tickle dumb. So we used to tickle ourselves, each other. Then he'd bring these 10 books for me to read from. After the 10 books have been read, you know, he'll say, now make up a story in which I'm there, you are there. And it's a real life story from your life. So I had to tell him all the stories from my own childhood, which really helped me heal myself.
Yeah.
I could present to him the humanity and the humor in my childhood, which was not very pleasant, but I had to stretch out and bring the joyful moments of my own childhood to him. Obviously, I couldn't tell my child that, oh, I had so much difficulties as growing up. But I would still say, you know, there was this challenge and my mother and father were going through this difficulty. And then we thought of it as a game. And, you know, I made up a lot of stuff. But I transformed within me also. You know, I changed my own stories of my own childhood. So it was really, really healing. And this really brings me to those stories. Let's talk about the storytelling. You know, I used to make lots of voices, lots of different characters. And I'm a theater person also. So you won't believe my son in the last year with the pandemic and all, he's now calling himself animator. He's taught himself animation entirely, video animation online. And he does voice. He'll say, I'm a voice actor. That's what he says. And I'm so thrilled that he's picking up from what all we did, crazy things.
Yes, yes.
It's really shaping his career, his need to be in that field. So, yes. Leela, tell us a little bit about your stories, what you write, and what spurs children on when you write. It's so evident in your voice that you are definitely so lovable. Everybody, even your voice says that. So I'm so glad that we are talking today once again. Tell us more about the stories you have written.
I find it very difficult to talk about myself and my achievements and all that kind of thing. It's much easier.
Let me make it easy. You're not talking about yourself. You're inspiring all our listeners. We need role models in our lives like you who have raised 3 children and now has grandkids and has a fulfilling life from a simple love for stories and children. Such a simple thing, but look how it is. So please inspire all of us. Please inspire me. It's your job now.
Yeah, that's what the younger lot when they meet me and young parents when they meet me, they will say this. They say that, you know, you're really so inspiring. You've done so many things in your life and blah, blah, and all of that. But let me think, perhaps it is a combination of everything, Deepali. Perhaps it is the first few years when I was a teenager and I was writing a magazine of my own. It started up, you know, it started up something and sparked a little something. You know, I was fascinated with being a writer in a magazine for children. There weren't very many children's magazines in those days. In fact, I don't think there was any except
the Tickle existed
at that time. Amar Chitraka was the only one,
but
stories per se and that kind of thing there wasn't. So I grew up in an army background, moving from one station to another every 2 years. In fact, I went to 9 schools in 11 years. We had 11 years of schooling then, so you can imagine. But my goodness, what it taught me, how many different kinds of cultures, different kinds of food we eat, the different kinds of costumes and thinking and places we were staying in, the cities that we were in, and so on. So, you know, that was a big learning point for me. But besides that, it was also, yes, this writing of magazines. And suddenly I realized parents in those days were telling me, you write really nicely. What a nice little article you've written. And then they would ask me, so where did you copy that from? And I'd say, I didn't copy that. That's my own, you know, what I've made up. You made that up yourself? I said, yeah, it's fiction. So the fiction was idiotic things like, you know, a cycle that flew then. I was thinking of it then. And You know, fairies that were that lived inside and under a bridge, which were tiny little things, and hobbits and things like that were not. We didn't even know about hobbits at that time.
So
We hadn't,
cute.
you know, books like that. So these things were, and then I would imagine these stories for my sisters, and so we were
single-sized
paper models of fairies and witches and whatnot and whatnot. And having a field day, we were convincing all the other little kiddies that the really fairies existed. And it was nothing bad. It was like nothing that was evil and violent and cruel and hitting and killing. And none of those things were ever discussed. It was all happy, pleasant thinking. And, you know, expressions of joy and expressions of achievement, we would achieve things like somebody who did something really well and wow, what fantastic thing, we got medals for this and so and such and whatever. Eventually, when I was in high school, I became senior prefect and I was asked to write, we were all asked to write mottos for the school, and mine was chosen and it's still there at the back of the diary, which every child gets now. In school, you know. So those kind of things were inspiring for me even then. I would be inspiring other people around me, and they would be looking at me with big eyes and saying, where did you get that idea? Where did you get this idea? I don't know. It's just, you know, it's something in my head that I'm thinking of. And maybe it was also our upbringing. Perhaps it was that. Because, you know, my parents were, one, my mother was not an Indian, she was Dutch. And she had been through the whole resistance in Holland when the Germans were there. They walked in and she did a lot of work with the resistance, working underground and, you know, looking after the Allied soldiers. My father was in the army and he was in the Battle of Casino, one of the worst battles of the war. So he came back home with stories when he did come back, when we were teenagers, of stories of the wars that happened on the north. And, you know, by that time we were talking about Pakistan. That was the big of those days. So, you know, the battles that happened there and the shelling and the killing and the whatnot, all that stuff. So actually I grew up with a mix of wonderful stories and horror stories. And somehow the wonderful stories seem to be something that I watch much preferred. And when my children were born, it was all about positive thinking. I never told them scary stories and frightening things. I didn't believe in that, you know.
I didn't want
to tell them, because anyway, they're going to face all these things in any case in the future. That doesn't mean one has to bring them up with these kind of thoughts, you know.
Absolutely.
Fear. And that kind of. And then eventually, when I was teaching in St. Mary's and Hutchings School and Primrose, the little babies, my songs were all about nature, because I'd had 9 years on the tea estates. I'd seen what it had done with my children. I wanted to pass that on to the next generation in the 80s. It was 80 to 90. And I saw that they missed out on so much because the parents didn't take them out to picnics. To, you know, to outdoor places. Why were they not doing this? Why? Because they didn't spend quality time with those kids. They didn't have the time with those children. And that's what made me think, okay, we better start nature camps for children. Let them come and stay with us for 4 days and 3 nights. We'll give them all this education in those 3 or 4 days, and we'll give them an overload of fun. Let's make it something which is a massive amount of fun, but at the same time, a huge amount of learning, which they don't know they're doing. They're not.
Right.
They don't know they're learning until they go back home and they're spouting all these things.
Right.
And sure enough, that is what happened, actually, because when I started camps in 1990 till 2006, we had just built our house. The kids came to stay with us. And then again, once again, with all the learning in the evening, we would be telling them stories. And my stories now were stories about nature, fiction, and also they wanted to hear ghost stories and horror stories and whatnot, because they were slightly older and it was the next generation of kids. They wanted that. They craved all that stuff. So yeah, so I told them some of those, and then they would go to their beds howling and yowling and saying, why did you tell us this? And then I would say, you asked for it. You are the ones who asked me for these stories. And so, you know, it was like I fooled the teachers who came. I told them stories which they would believe right up to the last day. Then I would tell them, no, it's actually, it's all bunk. And they would be laughing too and saying, gosh, the story was so real. It was absolutely. So I guess that storytelling has been in my blood, I guess, for a long, long, long time.
Yes.
And I've enjoyed it.
Thank you, actually, on behalf of all the children and parents, that you made this a priority. And I know that many parents are absolutely at their wits' end. They get overwhelmed by the energy of children. They don't know what to do, and their hearts break because they love the children. They want the best for them. And yeah. The second thing I would like to share with our listeners and with you, Leela, is that what unschooling journey has taught me is to be really honest with your child. Supposing I want my son to go out and be more in nature. Obviously, with technology now, they all want to be on computers. I make it about me. I never make it about him. That's something I found very wonderful. Then I say, you know, for mom, will you please come with me? I need company. I need to see you in nature just for a few minutes, just half an hour. And then he's very complying, and that half an hour becomes 2 hours, because then he realizes so much, you know. But I never make it about him. And I think that's something I learned from unschooling and mindful living, that be honest with your children. Let them know your little bit about your humanity. Why do you need that? You know, and they are very much, you know, much more able to step into the adult world then and see it as valuable, not resist it and say, oh, adults are always demanding and adults are so stupid. And, you know, so I want to thank you on behalf of everyone, all the children and parents. And I'm also thanking my own spirit that kept on choosing children in the same breath. And now let's talk a little bit about what stories really do for our children and our own selves. What do they really do? One of the things I heard you share just now is that it gives you a chance to role play. All that horror, all that, you know, children are the most anxious little people on this planet. They go through so much, you know, they're growing up, their limbs are growing, their hormones are changing. There's so much they have to take into their minds and assimilate and gather. And today even more, because now you have this extra online things and most of the parents are not around as much as they need to be. And that, I think, stories help to role play and bring out that dissatisfaction or anxiety and make it feel human, celebrate it. Like what you did with all the children was a celebration of our humanity. So would you like to share a little more of what does storytelling do to our children and our parents and, you know?
Yeah. Okay. I think for me, it's always been a case of storytelling really encourages children to use their own imaginations. If you look around you, when you listen to children nowadays, many of them are writing. Why are they writing? It's because there is so much they want to share with other people. That's a very, very positive thing. And it shouldn't be looked down upon at all. It should be encouraged. All parents should encourage their children, but let them do their own work. Don't tell them that, oh, this is wrong and make this better and do this so and do that. So let them write it and get it. It doesn't have to be published. It can be shared online with everybody. It does not have to be published to be a success. It just needs to be out there for their friends, for their teachers, maybe for other parents to admire and to read through and say, wow, that's interesting, that's nice, yeah, this is great. Lovely. So on. That's one thing the storytelling has done of today. The other thing in my case, I have really felt that since so many different cultures, I've had the luck many places in India for a period of 1 or 2 years, entire north, from Kashmir and Allahabad, Jammu, Then you married wow. after Poonam.
Okay, it's doing that thing again, Leela. Just for a few minutes, the connection is doing a beep dance. It's doing its orchestra. And apologies to our listeners. It's doing a little beeping. Just stop for a few minutes. It will realign. I would like to point out to our listeners that at such a moment when something goes off, like a beeping and all, that is a mindfulness moment. We can take a little breath and just center ourselves and be present to it. Allow, make space for the uncomfortable, for the uncertain, and say it's okay. And I think the connection might be back. Leela, what were you saying? Continue, please.
Yes. I was talking about what storytelling has taught me, living in these parts of the north and then working and living there for 9 years and all beautiful.
Okay, you're completely gone for now, Leela. So just if you can still hear me, just stay there. The connection will come back. Meanwhile, I want to share with our listeners that what Leela is talking about, imagination, nurturing the imagination. Now, why is this so important? Because everything you see around you is created from someone's imagination. The table, the chair, the computers we use, everything. And it was the confidence of that person who was self-expressed, who was allowed to tell his idea, to share and confidently. So if we are going to allow our children to believe in themselves, to be confident, the first step would be to let them believe in their imagination. Of course, that doesn't mean that you don't teach them about being real and teach them about what is danger. But at the same time, hello.
Hi there, Dipali. Finally. I'm so thrilled.
Nice. You did it.
Yeah, I did. Thanks. Yeah.
I totally get that these online things are all very cryptic and even the best of the minds can get, baffled.
I'm very easily baffled with things like this. It's just that I'm not very technical. I much prefer things, seeing things and working with things straightforward. Just gets me and just really gets to me.
It is indeed very difficult for me also, but I realize now that my need to connect and to need to really be in these conversations is so high that I have to find a way. And once I get started, it's like the stage fright you have before getting on stage. Once you're there, then everything's fine.
I don't really get stage fright because it doesn't bother me too much. But that's once I'm on, it's like, oh, the relief of getting on was just the most difficult part. Yeah. Now it's easy. This is fine,
Nice. So there is a little bit of hiss. I don't know, whenever you speak, there's some kind of hiss. Otherwise, it's quiet, no, around you?
Absolutely. It's so really silent. So, I don't know where the hiss is coming from. Is it my laptop isn't connected? It's just, I just put it on the laptop. So, maybe that is something. Let me just see if I can put it somewhere else.
On a laptop, you're not on the phone. Is that
something? No. I put the mobile on top of the laptop so that I'm, the camera, the what do you call it, the mobile is directly in front of me.
Ah.
Now do you hear any hiss? Still?
Now it's gone.
Oh, okay. So it must be something to do with this machine, the laptop itself.
Maybe.
So now it's...
Slightly, there is a hiss whenever you speak. Otherwise, it's not there. So I guess it's there. Never mind. We'll carry on. So this will just be a test run. I will turn it off. And when we start, we will just, I will introduce you. You introduce yourself. I will introduce the session, what we are doing. And we'll take a 30 second of, silence. So because it's a listening circle. So I'll explain what that is.
Yeah.
And then you can talk for as long as you feel like. I roughly feel a 30 to 40 minute is a lovely conversation. And that's it. And then we'll see how it goes. Huh?
Yep.
Does that sound fine? Does that sound fine?
Yeah, it sounds fine. The thing is, your voice is getting a little cut. So I'm not hearing you very clearly. Yeah. I don't know why that is.
Okay, I will try and fix that. But there is external sounds coming from your end. Like, like now.
I don't know.
Some kind of
happening now.
Now when you sing, it's not there.
Otherwise, okay.
I wonder, maybe it's in the instrument itself. Let's see. Maybe we reconnect.
Uh-huh.
Otherwise, there's no sound around you, no?
Absolutely. It's so silent. It's really, really quiet.
Very interesting. Whenever you speak, there's kind of bells ringing. I wonder your voice has bells ringing quality.
That's it.
Okay. So,
it's really quiet. Yeah. Really quiet. Uh-huh.
There is some network issue maybe. So I'll just go get my Wi-Fi check a little bit. Maybe there's a network thing.
Okay.
And shall we take a 5-minute break and start the session? Would you like that?
Yes.
Easy. Yes. No? Okay. So in 5 minutes, it's about 8:15.
Yeah, that's fine.
We'll meet again at 8:20. Okay?
Okay. Will do.
All right. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. See you.
See you.